Canto 1. Midway upon the course of this our life, I found myself within a gloomy wood, for I had wandered from the path direct. Who could relate how wild this wood was? It's so hard to say how stark and rough. The very thought of it renews my fear so bitterly that death seems almost near. How I came to be there, I cannot say for sure. I was so deeply bound by sleep as I departed from the path of truth. But when I saw that I'd come to stand below a hill closing off the valley which had set the sting of fear in my heart, I looked up to see there its summit touched already by that planet's shining beam that guides man's footsteps on every path. Then was the fear a little quieted that in my heart had lain, weighing on me all through that dreadful night. And like a man who, crawling from the sea upon the shore, breathes slow and weakly, then turns to regard the dangerous water, my soul, which urged me onward to further flight, then turned back to contemplate the way by which I came, which none was ever known to leave alive. I rested a while my weary body, then up the desolate rise pursued my way. But scarcely had I begun my climbing when out sprang a leopard, swift and nimble, covered by a fine fur and dappled hide. Always it crept before me. My way was blocked so thoroughly that time after time I turned about to make my safe retreat. But the hour was early. The rising sun, displacing the stars which glitter with that love divine, offered me encouragement and some hope regarding that beast with the spotted coat. Yet not so much that the vision of a lion appearing to me did not terrify. He seemed to rush at me with head erect, roaring so with hunger even the air itself seemed filled with fear. Then a she-wolf, that in her meagerness appeared to bear the sum of every want, instilled such fear and anxiety in my heart that now I lost all hope of reaching the summit. No peace was offered by that hungry beast. It came at me and pressed me back and down to where the sun is mute. Now as I fled down to the lower ground, before my eyes one came in sight who seemed to have become voiceless from silence overlong maintained. I cried out to him, "Take pity on me, whatever you are, man or simply shade." "No man," he answered. "Once I was a man. I was born under Julius, though late, and lived in Rome when good Augustus reigned, along with false and lying deities. I was a poet. I sang of that just son of Anchises who came from Ilium when haughty Troy was set ablaze. But why are you returning to such torment? Why do you not climb up this blissful mountain, the source and origin of every joy?"
"Can you be Virgil? Are you that fountain from which flowed so rich a river of speech?"
I answered, overcome, and bowed my head.
"O light and glory of all poets since, I pondered your verses with such great love. From you alone I learnt the noble style through which honour has been awarded me. Look at this beast from which I turned away. Help me, teacher, protect me from her who sets my pulses trembling through their veins."
"You must follow another path," he said, as he saw me weeping there, "if you wish to escape this wild place. The beast against whom you raise your cry will not let living souls pass by this way. She kills them. So vicious is her nature and so grim. Her craving will is never satisfied. Each meal makes her hungrier than before. She mates with many other creatures and will go on mating with many more. Yet that greyhound comes, who brings her painful death. He will not feed